You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside Tori and Miles. Together, we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Each week, the three of us will provide a technical analysis of the metal charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and news that help move and predict the markets. If you would like to have a chance to see the charts that Miles works so diligently on, please go to McIlvaney, www.mcilvaney.com/radio. You can sign up for a weekly email with Golden Rule on that and also listen to the podcast and see the charts as well. So today, Miles, give us a recap.
We're going to do a couple recaps this week. So kicking it off with gold, gold up about 3.5%, currently up about 3.5%, sitting at $3,865 at one point, a little over 4%, and it did just touch that $3,900 this week. So we're closing in on that next triple zero, $4,000, as it continues to push a little bit higher this week. Silver, definitely not to be outdone, up over 8% this past week, 8.3%. Currently sitting at $47.45 at the moment, closing in on that fabled $50 line. Platinum up 5.7%, sitting at $1,570. We were a little bit higher earlier this week, over 9% at one point, and it did break above 1,600. I think it got to around 1,625 with a little bit of a pullback middle of the week of this week, but platinum also looking very strong. Palladium, not to be outdone, palladium currently sitting at $1,275, I believe up about 4%, but at one point it was over 8%. As it pushed above 1300 to 1325 this week as well. Moving over to the paper markets, the S&P is up 1.7% this past week to 6,715. And finally, the US dollar, marginally down, but not much to write home about, pretty much dead even, following a very strong rise at the end of last week. So that's taking the dollar to around 97.75 on the week. So guys, we got a couple things to get into here. Where do we want to start? We got some quarterly numbers. We've got some interesting factoids about what's going on in the gold market globally here and what might be causing this rise. And then we also want to talk about where we think this rise could be maybe finding a ceiling here in the near future. So which of our bullet points are we kicking it off with, Tori?
Well, I'd say everybody wants to know how high it's going to go. I know all three of us are being asked that by our clients and just those that are interested, and we'll get into that. I mean, this is shaping up to be the sixth straight week of a stronger finish, a higher high
right
in these metals. These monthly numbers, we'd be pleased with that on the quarter. I mean,
well, there's been years I'd have been pleased with that for the year.
Yeah, that's right. No, exactly right. So where it stops, nobody knows. And this is despite a real stable dollar. Mm-hmm. Some of this, from a fundamental standpoint, has a little bit to do with the government shutdown. But the S&P 500 up 1.7% this week, that's despite the shutdown. As we record on October 1st, you tend to see the markets shrug off these government shutdowns. And that was no exception today. Just kind of really blew it off. Now, if it stays shut down for an extended period of time, then you can start to see those markets get impacted. But why don't we get into the quarter before we get too far along? I mean, double-digit quarter performance, mm-hmm. and this is the end of the fiscal year for the U.S. government. September 30th, the government quarter shuts down, or the year shuts down September 30th every year. But we're in, obviously, the end of the third quarter from a calendar standpoint. So we're not saying, okay, this is what gold did for the year, but up 15.5% in the third quarter. And I'll show that chart. Most of that's happened relatively recently.
Yeah, I think most of the move, in fact, over 15.5% move up just since August 22nd. So we're talking just really in the last 6 weeks, like you said, just six straight weeks of up is where we've seen the majority of the gold move so far this fall.
Real typical seasonally, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we say, mm-hmm. get your position done by August. We get those summer lows, and I tell my clients, add to your ounces before August is done. And this is pretty typical.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we're going to fatigue out here or anything else, but we sure did run strongly right into the close of the quarter. It shows no signs of any sort of hesitation at this point. Again, none. We'll get into those targets here in a bit, but silver outdid it. You remember, guys, we had that summer triangle pattern, that just sideways chop that was compressing, compressing. And Miles kept saying, when we break out of this, it's going to get exciting.
Well, it was just building a huge base.
Yes. And that's exactly how it's played out.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that ramp up. Silver never really did slow down. It started outperforming gold really in April, May 1st, somewhere in there. And since then, it's been the king of the metals as far as the two gold and
silver.
Well,
it had a long way to go. I mean, we were over 104 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold back in April. And now, what is it, down to 79, 80 right now?
81 today.
81
which is,
today, okay.
Yep. So that's great. I mean, that's a 23-point move in that ratio just in the last 4 months, which is a compression. So for those of you that aren't clear on that, you just take the gold price, divide by the silver price, and that gives you that number. And that 50-year average is closer to 62 to 1. We're at 81, 82 to 1. So we're still 20 points north, which means you need silver to continue this rally to really get back to just the average relative value to gold.
I had a client send me some more gold, and they're 50-50 silver and gold. And she goes, I'm sending you this. I want to buy more silver. And I stopped her and I said, okay, well, why are we doing this? I mean, why are you wanting to be 60% silver, 40% gold? Well, it's going to go higher. I'm like, okay, we understand you having some silver in case the wheels come off and you have to buy groceries. But you have to understand our position of owning silver is just so we can sell it and buy gold.
That's right. Yeah. It's a device for more gold.
It's a leverage for more gold. If we can get to 55 to 1, I said, you're going to see us flood the market with silver and rush to gold. Really? Yeah, that's the main reason why we position silver in our portfolios. It's not so you can carry around a dump truck full of junk silver to buy groceries with. It's to ratio back to gold.
I love them both. But again, I think we're all more gold bugs. It's the money metal. The white metals are the commodities that are instruments for us to accumulate ounces. And we'll even dive into that a little bit this week. So.
Well, and I remember last week you were talking about just how much silver AI is going to use and what you see happening with silver because of that whole avenue of demand.
And defense.
And
you know,
defense.
Weaponry and solar. There's a lot of physical demand.
Yeah.
And this is the fifth year in a row that physical demand is outpacing mining production.
Correct.
And the longer we stay high, the tougher it is on those short positions in the large bullion banks and banks in general. So as silver keeps running, I will say it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, doesn't raise margin requirements on silver just to try to keep it somewhat in check. But it's a new administration. So with that, Miles, where are we in the third quarter for silver?
Yeah, when you started to talk about silver, I thought you were going to dive right into the quarterly number because it's as impressive as it is. But I think what we were trying to do is we were trying to encourage people that, yeah, silver looks great, but all roads lead back to gold. And while you guys were talking there, I did just go double check my notes to make sure it was correct. But we're looking at a silver move since July 1st. So just this third quarter here of over 31%.
Wow.
So that's a pretty staggering. And from a chart perspective, a rather terrifying percentage for something to go up in that short period of time.
Yeah, it's not NVIDIA, but it's used by NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And that matches, if my numbers are right, I think silver is up about 62% on the year to date.
We'll check that while we're talking.
Yeah.
Well, and that 31%, most of that's been since August 20th. Like, we're still talking about the same period of time here. It's really just been in the last month.
Yeah, the metals were flatlining during the summer and people were scratching their head. Is it going to go down? And like, boom. Nope.
And we were just excited they weren't dropping.
Yeah.
Remember, we kept saying this is so strong.
Well, I wanted it to drop, but it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
We were cheering for it to drop.
But it didn't happen.
Yep. No.
63% on the year.
Dang, Tori.
There you go.
So there you go, Tori.
That's incredible that it's done that amazing. In back-to-back quarters. And that's got it up over 275% over 5 years. That's something that you can write home about.
And what's crazy is we haven't even gotten to the previous all-time high yet.
Yeah, and the ratio's still at 81.
And the ratio's still at 81.
Right? Don't you have people calling you saying, it's got to be time to swap my silver for gold? And it's like, It's not. You know, it's based on the ratio, not the percent return. But we're happy that it's contracting. We're happy that everybody's seeing this nominal value increase in their IRAs or in their metals portfolio. And platinum and palladium, are back to life, and they're rewarding everybody as well.
Yeah, relatively comparable there. Platinum up about 16.5% on the quarter, and palladium up about 13.5%. So gold, platinum, and palladium kind of in the same range, but silver has definitely been the overachiever since the end of August.
The shocking thing, and we mentioned this briefly, is the dollar. Like, let's do the quarter on the dollar. It sort of looks like gold did throughout the summer, this sideways chop, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not same falling pattern. Out of bed.
No, up about just under 1% on the quarter, about 0.9%. So we talked earlier, 97.75. So it is sitting just below that 100 mark. Now, the dollar has a lot of volatility built into it, but it is averaging back out about steady eddy, you know, as you want your currency to do. You don't want to live in Zimbabwe in the early 2000s. Like, it's not an enjoyable experience to go through. No. So seeing the dollar at least playing out here, dollar's the biggest moving ship in the ocean. So obviously, you know, it takes a long time to get the Titanic to turn her bow around, and that's the nature of the dollar. We had this nice reactionary rise over the last couple of years to bring some strength in because of the rising interest rates. But as we've talked about over the last week or two, the expectation and then follow through by the Fed to actually lower interest rates, because if they've got a dual mandate, they got to pick one more important than the other. And this go around, they picked unemployment. So we're looking at a decrease in the interest rates right now. And the downward trend in the dollar is just going to continue until they changed their plan. I had a teacher that used to say the beatings will commence until morale improves. And that seems to be what's going on with the dollar.
I'm glad I didn't go to your school. or we don't work there.
Yeah, right. My professor used to look at me and say, you know, Rob, you're young once, but you can be immature your whole life.
Was that permission or was that an exhortation? So. Yeah. Were you being lectured or encouraged?
I can't remember, but he was looking at me when he said it.
All right, so doing a deeper dive, Miles, because like I said, everybody's asking, where do we see this kind of topping out?
Yeah, that's definitely the question. I was going to do gold first. Let me actually do silver first, because silver, we've actually got a line in the sand that we're working up towards, and that's the previous all-time high, just shy of 50. So this is where I, you know, hold the card up to my head and I play Mr. Swami. I'm a little too young for that reference, but I recognize it. So this is me just pulling my crystal ball out. I certainly expect to see some psychological resistance around that 50 number. I think there's a very good chance that the trading in silver over the last 6 months, really since we started climbing in silver back in April, like Tori, you alluded to, silver's been outperforming gold since April because silver started climbing when gold kind of started its summer vacation, we'll say. So we've been looking at the way that silver has been kind of climbing upwards here. And if you sort of extend out some of the potential retracement levels to line up with some of the ceilings that we've had in silver over the last 6 months, it really brings silver, I would argue, somewhere north of 49 on the spot price. 49 and a quarter, 49 and a half looks like a good stopping point, ceiling point for silver. That puts us right in line with previous all-time highs. That probably also puts the futures market price just over 50. So we will see that 50 number breached. I assume it'll be something like a pinprick, maybe a day or two with a relatively sharp reversal back down. I really doubt that we're looking at a significant number of standing sell orders at $50 from the last time it was there, like 14, 15 years ago. You know,
yeah,
nobody
you said that before. Yeah, you think most of those standing sell orders have been cleared out.
I do. I mean, I don't know anybody other than maybe JP Morgan who might have a tiny, tiny position in silver from 20 years ago. And their book of business is so big that they just don't care to leave it sitting there until it hits. And obviously, if you follow the Warren Buffett school of investing, you might also still have some standing orders there, because Warren Buffett, his whole argument is time is irrelevant. If you know something's going to happen, you place the trade, and it doesn't matter if it happens in 6 months or 60 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're worth billions, because you have a lot of other money to fall back on. But for the rest of us Joe Schmoes out there, nobody's hitting on a significant silver sell at 50. Now, what I think probably has happened, certainly over the last 6 or 12 months, is that we've moved into the 30s, and now as we've quickly moved into and right through the 40s, because we haven't spent a lot of time here in the 40s.
No, it's just going right through like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, it happened real quick. Yeah. Yep. And I think there probably are a number of people, certainly in the ETFs, the futures market, that were looking at some of these contract dates out this fall. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some new standing sell orders. You know, you buy silver at 35, you ship it at 50, you call it a win, right? So for someone like me who just likes to stack coins in my basement, it's irrelevant to me. But I do also recognize that in our industry, there are people that trade it as a commodity. They don't just own it as a hedge and as a currency replacement. So I wouldn't be surprised to see 50 here while I've been talking. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on our website at mcilvaney.com/radio and you're following along with the charts, you've been looking at the silver chart I've put out here, where you're seeing some really nice potential retracement support levels lining up with previous pricing action over the last 6 months. So silver can do whatever it wants to. It could turn down tomorrow, or we could hit 50 and 6 weeks later we're at 60. But I really think we're going to catch a little bit of a ceiling here between 49 and 50 with a bit of a pullback.
Okay.
My biggest takeaway there is that your silver's in your basement. So that's
well,
good.
Well, I was going to just we can sneak over.
I moved, guys. Y'all don't got my address anymore. Bring it on.
We're scheming here.
Yeah.
Well, the silver price is meeting resistance, those previous all-time highs. So it's been 1980. It's been 2011. That's a huge gap in between. Yeah. This is the third time that we will have gone up and essentially touched that $49, $50 to $50 mark.
And I think third time's the charm. I expect it to slow down a little bit. I'm looking for like in the mid-60s as a topping point. Milesh, what do you think?
Well, I think we'll definitely get there. I mean, there's no doubt there. We'll have $60 silver. We'll have $75 silver. We'll have $100 silver.
Yeah, it just depends on when.
Well, even in the short term, the third time tends to be the charm on the charts when you're trying to push up through something.
Yeah.
This is a long, drawn-out cup and handle pattern we have summarized on this show. And that $50 mark, if we close above that, I think that's when it gets really exciting. And again, focus on the ratio. Well, so if gold is at 4,000 and that ratio just comes down to the average, that's all we're talking about doing.
Wouldn't it be great if we got to $4,000 gold and $80 silver?
Yeah. Well, that's $67 silver if you go to 60 to 1.
Yeah.
Why is that a stretch? Like, we have to start thinking in percentages and ratios.
Yeah.
Like we do for our clients, rather than in dollar figures. And that will get the investor unfrozen, if you will, thaw you out a little bit. Because a week ago, we were 13% away from 50. And now we're only 5% away from 50. That's how fast this market is moving. So potentially we'll know this time next week what the top was in the short-term cycle and whether or not we were able to blow through that figure.
Well, if we could get to $80 silver with $4,000 gold, I am moving a third of my clients. I'm going to beg them, let's get a third of your silver back to gold, please. And then we can sit on the other two thirds and see what happens.
Yeah, cost averaging.
You know, it becomes a little bit harder to start speculating on future pricing because you speculate on future pricing based on where you've had price interactions between bulls and bears, you know, where you've had these little fistfights on the way up. So it's starting to become more difficult to speculate on pricing going forward because we're looking at silver doing nothing but going up. There hasn't been a fistfight anywhere. So I'd love to see this sort of pause right around 50, give us maybe a new plateau, a new base to start from for the next hike up. And then, yeah, we're probably talking 65, 75, 80 at some point.
Oh my gosh.
And gold did that on its breakout. You know, it had a cup and handle formation, and now here we are. It blew through that, and now we're just running and trying to touch 4,000. So going back, Miles, let's do the same thing with gold. in terms of that potential ceiling.
Closing out silver, just because I love this point you added to the notes here, Tori. Silver is currently 34% above its long-term 200-day moving average, which is staggering. So I still think, unless we're in runaway territory at this point, which I'm not on board for that train quite yet, I think that we're hopefully looking at a little short-term ceiling here in silver. Gold, not too shabby, is 22% above its 200-day moving average. So I know silver's had a stellar year, but gold is still trucking along for some of the same reasons. Looking at where we've had trading take place, where bulls and bears have had their little fistfights and figuring out what trading ranges have been over the last 6 months, that helps me kind of extrapolate out where I think we might see the next high and line up where some potential correction levels off that high could be. So I am still thinking we could see gold throw another 150 or so bucks onto this price move up over the next 6 weeks, let's say, topping out somewhere around 4050, 4100, you know, just over 4000. And then also as we move into the November, December, end of year kind of slowdown you get in the markets.
Winter vacation.
Yeah, the winter vacation, summer vacation and winter vacation. So that's kind of my expectation here. I think that would line some stuff up nicely on the gold chart. On the flip side of that, you could make an argument that gold could give us some nice correction levels if it turned down here, but I don't think it's ready to do that yet. So we'll see. I could be wrong. By the time we post the show tomorrow, gold's down $200 and I have to delete half the recording, but we'll probably leave it up anyway.
Well, as Hedge Eye says too, not that gold is signaling it yet, but they say, you know, the beginning of the end of all-time highs in anything's price is lower highs. So when we start seeing lower highs instead of higher highs, then we can start to say maybe this is the beginning of the pause. But for now, 6 weeks, it's been this incredible higher highs. And remember, we went 7 straight months of higher highs throughout 2024 and into 2025 with gold. And so these things can be drawn out a very long period of time. But when you're doing it in 6 consecutive weeks, that to me is like a potential energy for that retracement. And Miles, I'm glad you brought up that separation from those moving averages, because we've really separated a long ways. And you always at some point come back and touch those moving averages. It doesn't mean the bull market's over. It just means that's the pause. That's the reforming of a base, as you described it, Rob. And it won't upset us one bit to see that happen and allow everybody to gather their thoughts, gather their dollars, convert to more ounces, and off we go.
Tori, there's a couple other little charts here that you shared with us earlier this week that I think we need to squeeze in here at the end. So we're going to speed run this, Tori. What's going on with the foreign central bank holdings?
Well, holding more gold in treasuries, that's the global de-dollarization move. That's what's driving this market. This isn't mom and pop buying gold for their safe. This is big central bank and bullion banks, sovereign entities buying the metals. But these foreign central banks, this is a great image. And if you go all the way back, you know, Kevin brought this up in staff meeting when we were talking about this. And if you go back to 1980, that's when we had this super high inflation. Volcker came in, started raising rates aggressively, very strong dollar policy to fight inflation. It was post-Russia, Afghanistan. It was post-overthrow of the Shah in Iran. And so you had all this geopolitical tension on top of it. And ever since then, people started moving more into U.S. treasuries. Now the opposite. There's clearly a dollar concern. There's clearly geopolitical concerns. So this is a fascinating chart to see this become the reality. And who knows how high it can go. But during that same period of time, gold has also been increasing value on other things that it purchases. So when priced in gold, we've got some great imagery just to encourage you. Like, if you should be keeping a certain percentage of your portfolio in gold. Based on age and stage, that could be a third of your investment portfolio. And just like Bank of America came out and joined Morgan Stanley by saying that, hey, you need to reestablish your portfolios to have at least a 20% position in gold. That was unheard of over the last 50 years.
I mean, it's always been 5%, 10% if you're just a rabid speculator, because gold is a commodity, it's a pet rock. Well, now they're saying 20%, and the foreign central banks, they're at 25%.
So if they're doing it, why wouldn't we be doing it?
That's the question I have for our listeners. Yes. Hey, if you're only 5 or 10% gold because your expert stockbroker is saying it's not an investable asset, need to rethink that.
You do. And look at what gold buys you now in terms of single family home. Yeah. How many ounces does it take to buy a house? How many ounces does it take to buy barrels of oil? How many ounces does it take to buy dollars? How many ounces does it take to buy equities like the S&P? You're getting purchasing power increase by sitting in gold. Why in the world would you be overexposed to the cash position?
Well, to answer your question, Tori, it's currently about 109 ounces of gold to buy the average single family detached home here in the United States. The only other times in the last 50 years it's been cheaper was January of 1980, where it was right at 100. And then January of 2012, after gold finished its bull market run after the 08 market crash, it got down to 104. So this is actually home prices in terms of ounces or gold. This is the third cheapest it's ever been in history, and we're only a couple points away from it being the cheapest it's ever been in history.
And that's without a housing crisis. It's not like housing has collapsed.
Exactly. So for those out there still thinking about gold as the pet rock, you'll change your mind. I just hope you do it before it hits $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 an ounce.
And you know what? It will.
So I think that's going to do it this week, guys, for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you listening. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website. You can find us at McIlvaney.com/radio. And better yet, why not give one of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals a call to talk about your personal precious metals portfolio? We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556.